The November election is a little more than a month away now. For Oregon, with its all-mail elections, ballots begin arriving in a little more than 2 weeks, which means you have a little under 2 weeks to get registered in Oregon if you're not now. Several major statewide ballot measures capture attention, including Measure 91, which would legalize marijuana for personal use in Oregon. Pot measures always draw plenty of attention and money, especially now that two states, Washington and Colorado, already legalized marijuana through the ballot box. Today's guest is best known for travel reporting, but he's here to talk about his support for legal pot. His Rick Steves Europe TV series is carried by more than 300 stations, reaching 95% of U.S. markets. He also hosts a weekly public radio program, Travel with Rick Steves. Rick Steves is here to talk about his support of Measure 91. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Jeffrey. Thanks.
How did your career help you develop your feelings about drug policies in this country?
Well, I've spent 4 months a year for the last 30 years traveling in Europe with my work, you know, researching my guidebooks, leading my tours, and producing our TV shows that are presented to the United States, by the way, by Oregon Public Broadcasting, so I'm proud of that. And I've been interested in how European policies address problems that are also problems in the United States. I think it's so interesting to remember that different societies are struggling with the same challenges, and they use different approaches. And in the United States, we're famously incarceration sort of motivated with our drug policy. We measure the success of our drug laws by how many people do we lock up. And my European friends, they're more into pragmatic harm reduction when it comes to dealing with the same problems. My European friends remind me that a society has to make a choice, tolerate alternative lifestyles or build more prisons. And then they always remind me that we Americans lock up about 10 times as many people per capita as they do. And then they follow that with an annoying little comment, either you guys are inherently more criminal or there's something screwy about your laws. And when it comes to a soft drug like marijuana, in Europe, you know, a joint's about as exciting as a can of beer, and they just think it is kind of ridiculous to be locking up 800,000 people a year like we do here in the United States, wasting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars if you count all the costs, when all that does is stoke a black market and is a huge cash crop which enriches gangs and organized crime. I'm also kind of an internationalist, Jeffrey, and I'm interested in how different nations affect each other. And, you know, when I'm leaving, there's a squatter community in Denmark, in Copenhagen, called Christiania, where there's a lot of, you know, hippies and there's a lot of people smoking pot. And when you leave Christiania in Copenhagen, my friends tell me, be careful with your marijuana, because every year in Denmark we have to arrest a couple of pot smokers in order to maintain favored trade status with the United States of America. You know, the United States is just hell-bent on criminalizing marijuana, and it's sort of the prohibition of our age, just like the prohibition against alcohol was recognized as causing more problems than the drug abuse itself. Today, people are recognizing that the prohibition against marijuana is actually more costly to our society than the drug itself. I want to make it clear, I'm not pro-marijuana. I'm anti-prohibition and pro-fiscal responsibility and pro-civil liberties.
I'm curious, intrigued about that term, pragmatic harm reduction. How does that work?
Well, a society has to, you know, it kind of boils, it gets into that realm of legislating morality. In the United States, we're really inclined to legislate morality, and Europeans realize that that just can cause a lot of problems, and they would rather, it just criminalizes things that can be thought of as a health challenge or an education challenge. When it comes to drug abuse, in Europe, drug addicts, well, the word addiction in many languages is enslaved. People are considered enslaved to drugs. They're considered sick people that need help rather than criminals. In Europe, they take the crime out of the equation and they treat it as a health and an education challenge, and they measure their laws by how do they pragmatically reduce harm. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding here in the United States, because our brains have been wired by literally $1 billion of government propaganda that builds up the fears and the scare tactics of marijuana. And the reality is, yes, it's a drug, and it can be abused and it can be addictive, but it can be regulated and it can be taxed. And a lot of people think there's a whole reservoir of decent people that would just love to ruin their lives smoking pot if only it was legal. And the fact is, if you legalize, use does not go up. Consumption does not go up. When Oregon legalizes marijuana after this next election, there might be a little spike in use because it'll be a novelty. Things will then settle down. And every society has found there's no correlation between how strict the laws are against marijuana and consumption. And that's borne out by the statistics. I mean, we've got lots of track records now. The Dutch, for instance, have not arrested a pot smoker for 25 years. You can go down the street and smoke it in a little pub if you want to. And by every government's measure, ours and theirs, Americans smoke far more pot per capita than the Dutch do, and the Dutch smoke less than the European average.
Rick Steves is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, known from public radio for Travel with Rick Steves, European travel expert and proponent of legalization of marijuana in Oregon. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Rick, how involved were you with the marijuana law, the marijuana measure that became law in Washington?
I funded it to a great extent, and I was a co-sponsor, and I spent about 8 days running around the state giving a lecture tour all over the state, and I'm helping out in a similar way in Oregon. I'll be coming down next week for a week and visiting 10 different cities. I'm excited to be doing this barnstorming tour. I've got talks coming up in Corvallis and Eugene Thursday on the October 9th, and on Friday, October 10th, I'll be in Medford and Ashland. And it's just, for me, a real challenge to help Americans and help, you know, people in the Northwest here understand the complexities of this issue. I think it's a fascinating thing. I've been a board member of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, now for over 10 years, and I've been working on this for a long time. I'm an unusual person because I can talk about this without any concern about being reelected or, you know, nobody can fire me. Once in a blue moon, somebody who doesn't like my stance on marijuana, who confuses it to think that I'm pro-marijuana, they'll say, oh, we don't like what you think about marijuana. We're not going to take your guidebooks, and we're not going to take your tours to Europe anymore. And all I can think is Europe will be more fun without you.
Well, I mean, have any stations dropped you because of your stance?
Yes, what was it? The one, my radio station airs on 280 stations every week for an hour around the country, and I believe when it was on Sirius, the International Armed Forces Radio, whatever that is, couldn't run my show because of my stance on marijuana. And I really make it clear, I am not pro-marijuana. I've never said smoke pot. I've just said this is a bad law, and I think it's good citizenship for people to stand up when there's a costly law on the books, and this is a national prohibition. And for me, it's really interesting how the United States works on this. I mean, states are incubators of change. When the federal government has a law that is misguided or wrong-minded or wrong or counterproductive or based on needless fears or misinformation, states can courageously break away, even against the will of the federal government. That's what happened with alcohol back in the 1930s. And it was incremental, state by state. First, New York broke away from the prohibition against alcohol, and they said beer is legal. And then later on, other states went for beer. And then they went for hard liquor. And then people realized, okay, this is working out okay. And then they allowed home brewing. And today, nobody would look at the beautiful microbrewing industry in Oregon and say, this has been a big mistake. I think it was a beautiful thing that state by state, people challenged the federal insistence against keeping alcohol illegal. Well, the American government's war on marijuana is the prohibition of our generation, and I'm so proud that Washington and Colorado have broken that lock on this, and now other countries are emboldened. You know, Jeffrey, when you hear the word decriminalization, really, to me, that means people are afraid to legalize because they don't want to be involved in a trade war with the United States. They don't want to suffer those trade sanctions, so they don't out-and-out legalize. They just decriminalize. It's kind of silly. And in Washington now, we have not, you know, we've legalized the last couple of years. And last year, we arrested 5,000 fewer people than we would have otherwise. 5,000. Because we've decided not to lock up pot smokers. Use has not gone up. You know, there's not been a change in driving problems. We're going to great lengths to keep marijuana away from people under 21. I understand Oregon arrests 13,000 people a year. That's a big problem. That's very expensive. Also, we got to remember that when marijuana is illegal, it's still widely consumed, but it's a vast black market industry. It's the second biggest cash crop in Washington state after apples. And now that will be taken away from organized crime and away from the gangs. And it was enriching organized crime and gangs until now. And now that's a regulated and a taxed industry. And for me, it's just so pragmatic. It's so common sense. It's just, I just think the truth will prevail on this when people can get over their unreasonable fears about what will happen after we tax and legalize and regulate the adult responsible consumption of marijuana.
Rick Steves from Travel with Rick Steves is a Yes on 91 guy. We have some phone calls here. Here's Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Mr. Steves. Perhaps you could comment on the motivation by the prison industrial complex and compare that to any similarly motivated group in Europe. And thank you very much for rationality. It's about time.
Right. Well, thank you, Grumpy John. You know, I think Oregon's got more opposition to the Measure 91 than Washington had 2 years ago against I-502. And anytime you have opposition to this, I think you got to ask what's motivating them. And there's something called the PPP, this is my own term, the PPP, the Pot Prohibition Profiteers, people who profit from the fact that marijuana is illegal. Anytime somebody is speaking out in favor of keeping this law on the books and still arresting 13,000 people a year for nonviolent possession of marijuana crimes, you should ask what's motivating them. Who paid for their plane ticket to come into Oregon and talk about this? And sadly, it's people who make money because marijuana is illegal. It could be pharmaceuticals. It could be law enforcement unions and sheriff's unions that get to possess people's property if they're busted. It could be prisons for profit. I mean, we have this amazing industry of prisons for profit in our country. No wonder we lock up 10 times as many people per capita as Europeans. And sadly, we have a lot of people who are in the marijuana business right now who are making a lot of money because it is illegal, and they have a kind of strange monopoly on it. And when it becomes illegal, they look at their bottom line and they realize, oh, it's not going to be easy money anymore. So they can go legalize, legalize, legalize until the last inning, and then they will go out against the legalization of marijuana because they realize that it'll hurt their bottom line. So understand what is motivating people when they speak out against Measure 91. And what motivates me when I'm going to spend next week running around in Oregon is my joy of traveling through Oregon and meeting a lot of good people and my passion for civil liberties and my recognition that this is a racist law. It's not rich white people who are locked up. When you lock up 13,000 people in Oregon every year, they're not rich white people. They're poor people and mostly black people. And I think that's a horrible thing to have in our society. And even if you don't have the altruism to care about that, it's not good for your own community when you have that kind of law on the books. So it's a complicated issue, and I'm so thankful that we're having a chance to talk about it. And I'm pretty confident that Oregonians will recognize that this is a smart move. This is pragmatic harm reduction. When we legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana in Oregon after voting yes on 91, we'll find that use will not go up. We'll take the money away from organized crime and gangs. We will tax it. That money, which in Washington State is in the hundreds of millions of dollars, is earmarked to help education, to help drug prevention treatment, and to help law enforcement tackle serious hard drug abuse problems. I just think it's a win-win thing all around.
Rick Steves, the European travel expert, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, speaking in favor of Measure 91, which would legalize marijuana for personal use in Oregon. Should let our listeners know the offers have gone out to the No on 91 people. We're expecting to hear back from them shortly. Here's Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, two short comments, one question. The first comment is original alcohol prohibition is what allowed organized crime to get a foothold in this country. And second, I believe personally that marijuana should be free. I mean, literally free. And I'm wondering if under the measure 91, if a person is going to be allowed to grow marijuana for his own recreational use and or be able to give it away to others over the age of 21.
All right. Excellent question. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, Mark, those are good points. And, you know, I just come from the experience of legalizing successfully, helping Initiative 502 in Washington. And 2 years ago, this was much dicier than it is today. Now we have a track record, and it's not as scary. I'm so proud that Colorado and Washington had the courage, as you know, caring states in the United States of America, to break this federal insistence on criminalizing marijuana. We wrote laws that were very conservative, frustrating and angering people to our left that wanted marijuana to be free. My concern is that we don't have any more problem with kids smoking pot. It needs to be aggressively kept away from people under 21, as our law does. And people in this business understand that the most the best way to lose control of something is to let it to be illegal. It's much more smart to regulate it, and if when you're concerned about kids having access. I'm concerned about safety on the road. I'm concerned about protecting employers' rights to have whatever standards they want on the, in their workplace, and I'm just concerned about just the civil liberties end of it. Now, we've crafted these laws to be conservative because it is new territory. And it's exciting to think that once we legalize marijuana, then we will better understand it. We'll actually be able to study it. Now we can't even study it legally. We have to get rats high and try to interview them. It's kind of ridiculous. But now we'll be able to actually study it, and then we'll be able to proceed smartly because, you know, marijuana is a drug. It can be addictive. It can be abused. It's a serious thing. But we need to approach it more smart with a pragmatic harm reduction approach. People who want it to be more liberal and more accessible, well, we'll see how the society handles it when it's carefully regulated. And then, like beer, we may realize that, you know, if we have good guidelines and good parameters, it can be loosened up a little bit in the future. But Oregon's doing a beautiful thing by joining Washington and Oregon in this nationwide movement to end the war on marijuana.
Rick Steves is speaking out in favor of Measure 91, legalized personal marijuana in Oregon. Here is Steve in Eugene. Welcome to The Exchange.
Howdy. We have a medical marijuana dispensary in Talent, and I was amazed to hear that more drug, their prices were higher than what you can get on the street. So I'm kind of wondering what kind of price structure we're going to end up with, and will the street hustlers still be viable because they're bringing it in for cheaper?
That is a great question on both medical and personal marijuana. Rick, how does the law anticipate that, or does it?
Yeah, it does very much. And I know in Colorado and in Washington we dealt with this thoughtfully. And while we want to tax it to raise revenue and to moderate its consumption, especially, you know, as far as how is it accessible to young people, we have to be careful it's not taxed so high that it's more expensive than the street price, because that would just stoke the black market. So it's kind of a little dance, and you got to finesse that. But I know that Oregon is interested in stopping the black market, and it would be counterproductive if the tax structure was such that you could get marijuana cheaper on the streets. I think that marijuana will be in the supply and demand realm and the free enterprise in through these regulated liquor, sort of like hard liquor store model, and over time it will be less expensive than what it is on the street, but it'll still be costly. The difference is, instead of making hundreds of millions of dollars for organized crime in your state, it will be taxed, and it will be safe, and it will be marked, and it will be regulated, and it'll be kept out of the hands of people under 21.
For the folks who are just joining us, you were a sponsor for Initiative 502 in Washington, its legal marijuana measure. What have been the unintended consequences that you've observed since that passed?
You know, I'm not keeping track of all the little legal fine points of 502. For me, I'm just happy that we have in Washington arrested 5,000 fewer people a year for marijuana in our state. I'm happy that Brookings Institute, which is a very important and thoughtful think tank, has studied Colorado and Washington 2 years after the election and have concluded that things are going very well, and that the threats that people opposing the legalization of marijuana have not panned out. There's not been any change in DUIs on the road. There's not been a noticeable increase in people driving intoxicated. There's not been a spike in teen usage. Crime in general is down, and we've raised tens of millions of dollars so far in tax revenue, and that's just starting. So for me, I think it's a very good start, and I do want to remind you that Washington and Oregon were pioneers, or Washington and Colorado were pioneers in this, and now Oregon has the opportunity to learn from us, and its law is has learned from Washington and Colorado's experience. Ethan Nadelman, who's the president of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is a very important national organization to end the war on drugs, has written that Oregon will be able to say its initiative is the new gold standard in legalized tax and regulate laws in the United States. He's very impressed by the smartness of the law in Oregon. So I think it was a little bit of a leap of faith for Washingtonians and Colorado people to vote for ending the little war on marijuana in their states, and things have panned out very well so far, and we're excited about Oregon and Alaska voting this coming November to legalize marijuana in your states.
Rick, just a little time left here. You have probably had the chance to observe marijuana liberalization in some of the European countries that you travel to and take tourists to and cover in your reporting.
Yeah.
Is there in those cases, and I'm assuming there have been some, I mean, is there a period at which the whoopee finally dies down? I mean, does it take 3 years, 5 years for people to just sort of get used to things?
Well, that is the very interesting thing. And, you know, that's one thing I inject into this discussion, Jeffrey, is this European perspective. And I know in the Netherlands that really, by every measure, our governments and their governments, the Dutch smoke far less per capita than Americans do, even though you can do hard time for it in the United States and it's essentially legal in the Netherlands. The Dutch smoke less than the European average. And for the Dutch, it's kind of a goofy thing. The Dutch don't even care about it. It's just, you know, a few musicians and bohemians smoke pot down at the corner pub, and the tourists come in and go, wow, you can smoke here without getting arrested. But for the Dutch people, most Dutch people have never even smelled marijuana. It's not an issue. That's what's exciting. This is kind of a silly thing when you think about it. Everybody's discussing this and so on. It's because of our government's insistence on criminalizing it. Now, 10 years ago, the Portuguese legalized the consumption of all drugs, hard and soft. 10 years later, there's a conservative government in power there instead of the liberal government that initiated that. They were opposed to it originally. They have tested it. They have studied it. They've assessed it 10 years later, and they've learned that since Portugal legalized all the consumption of all drugs, the number of hard drug addicted people has dropped by 50%. The number of pot smokers has stayed the same. They've not had the drug tourism problem they anticipated. They've saved millions of dollars in legal and enforcement costs. And now, when people are sick with drug abuse problems, the government is their friend, not their enemy. In Europe, the word for addicted is enslaved. And people who are dealing with hard drug problems are considered sick people who need doctors and counselors, rather than criminals who have to deal with cops and judges.
There is the case in favor of Measure 91, legalizing personal marijuana for personal use in Oregon. Rick Steves from Travel with Rick Steves, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, I'll look forward to seeing people in Medford and Ashland this coming Friday, October 10th.
Thanks, Rick. Bye.